Welcome to the Jesse Peterson Show. Today we're talking about entrepreneurship. There's two purposes for this show. One is to help advertise businesses, and another is to give the black community an idea of how to start a business. I firmly believe that anyone that wants to start a business can. However, I know that everyone won't. But for too long, we've been blaming white folks about holding us back. The white man have his foot on our neck. The white man won't loan us money to start a business. The white man. So, you know, it's time out for that. So today we're going to try to give you an understanding of how to start a business and how to make it work. My first guest today is Marvin Lowry, Coalition of Minority Building Fund. Is that right?
That's right.
Did I pronounce your name right?
Yes, you did.
All right. Malcolm Jones, Tradition of California. Also, I'd like to add that Malcolm is the Vice President of BOND, which is the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny, and I'm the president of it, located here in Inglewood. And so I'm glad to have Malcolm. Isaac Gordon, business consultant, is that right?
Yes, business consultant.
And what does that mean? What is business consultant?
Basically, any phase of the business that you need help in, I could, you know, pretty much help you with it. Ranging, you know, from finance to the actual putting together a business plan or anything that's business related, I pretty much do it just on the administrative level.
Okay. So, Isaac, how long have you been in business?
My personal business?
Yes.
About 12 years now.
Okay. Are you in more than one business? When you say personal business, what does that mean?
Yeah. About four or five different businesses I consult for. And, yeah.
So, are you the owner of four businesses, or you work with someone else, or how?
I only own one business, but with that one business, I end up in different ventures. Like myself and Mr. Lowry, you know, we're both directors in the coalition, and yeah, have other interests that are pretty much the same. That is, that I sort of consulted with people and eventually become partners with those people in their business, because they're relying upon you to do a vast majority of the administrative tasks or business functions for them.
And again, how long have you been in business? Your personal
business?
About 12
years.
12 years.
Myself, yeah.
What made you decide to start your own business?
I guess I just grew up in the business. My dad ran a bunch of businesses, and I always wanted to be in business. I just never, you know, that's the only thing I ever understood was his business.
Really? Have you ever worked for anyone else?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
And what is the difference between working for someone else and having your own business?
Some people say freedom, but my personal thing is, it doesn't make a lot of difference. I enjoy both. I mean, you go out there and you do the best you can do, and it's fun as long as you enjoy what you're doing.
Right.
As long as you don't get caught in the I'm just pushing a clock rut, or you don't get caught up into this rut that I'm on my own, I can go on vacation when I want. It's more of a, you know, whatever you make it type of thing, really.
Okay. How about you, Marvin? How long have you been in business?
This is going on my 12th year also.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And so what made you decide to go into your own business?
Well, I left college, and I went to work for a corporation, and I didn't enjoy the corporate structure. So I decided I wanted to own my own business, and I left California and went to Texas.
Really?
And I started my business there.
And when you say that you didn't enjoy the corporate structure, what do you mean? Why not?
The whole idea of the backstab and the lying, it was subtle. It was never definite. It was subtle because I had a very freedom business. I could do what I wanted to do. I was in private sales.
Right.
And I could do what I wanted to do. So I had the freedoms I wanted to do, but I couldn't control the money and I couldn't control the environment around me.
Let me ask, do you deal with the same thing in your own business, the backstabbing, the lying, and the cheating?
Of course.
And so how do you deal with that differently from work, as opposed to working with someone else?
I'm not driven by money.
You're not driven by money?
So if a large contract depends on me not making the money to do it, then I leave it alone. I said,
okay, tell me a little about your business.
My private business is I run a consulting, acquisition, and development firm. Now, the coalition is away from that.
Okay, break down the first one first. What is it that you do?
Well,
and how can we benefit from your service?
Well, I'm a minority developer, and what I do is I design and develop homes in South Central.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And I do acquisition for you. You can come into my firm, and we'll go out and we'll find property for you, or you can bring property into us, and we'll develop it. We'll tell you what to do with it. You know, we have access to any databases that deal with real estate. Uh-huh. If you just want to know ownership, if you came in and was looking for property, we can show you ownership. If you want to come in and you have property, we can show you what the laws say you can do.
Oh, okay.
You know, from city, people, state, local, federal.
Do you find that most people have property and don't know what to do with it?
Of course.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
And why not?
And most of my clients are minority people because they don't feel like they fit into the mainstream. They don't. They don't understand, you know, what drives that market. So what we do is we bring those tools to them. Then they understand better, because once we're finished with a market analysis for them, they know what they can build there from the smallest to the biggest. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of things that go with that: height limitations, setbacks, you know, and we also deal with the, we will do hands-on for you. We'll develop it for you also.
Really?
We'll go in and do the actual consulting, where we'll meet with the contractor so you don't have that problem.
Is it good to do it that way, or is it best that they...
You can save 30%.
30%.
I mean, a contractor normally gets 30% over what he makes.
Where are you located?
Where I'm in the state of California.
In the state of California?
Mm-hmm.
So if someone want to call you, they call the state of California?
They would call. Are you asking for a phone number?
Are you located in South Central Los Angeles?
Well, South
West
Central,
LA,
was, like I said, I moved to Texas to get my learning ground there. And I probably did 400 or 500 projects there and mm-hmm. started building the business that I really wanted to do, which was actual development for myself.
Right.
And all I did was speculative build. I'd go in, buy the land myself, and develop it. But along with that, I was learning tools, and I said, what can I do with these tools now?
Absolutely.
Well, I can help other people so they don't make mistakes, because there's a lot of mistakes in building.
Okay.
But I don't understand why everyone doesn't build their own house.
Really?
I mean, you have the freedom of design, you have the freedom of, you know, controlling the market of what you're going to pay for it. And there's still a lot of lending institutions that will deal with you on that level. A lot that won't, but there are more that will than won't.
Really? Marvin, you have another business, right, that you mentioned?
Yes, I have a nonprofit organization.
And what is that about?
Well, the nonprofit is nothing but entailing everything that I've done for the last 12 years into that, where I believe that the black man should be taught by the black man.
Uh-huh.
You know, we should teach, we shouldn't die with our skills. We should bring these skills and give them back to each other. I think that's our biggest problem, is we can't give back. We don't give back. We take it in, we hoard it. And
yeah.
And we don't give it back to each other. We'll
Why
give it to anyone
why?
Else.
Why is that?
I believe it deals with nutrition. I believe it deals with spirituality. I believe it deals with, you know, just common everyday ideas about how we should run our lives, what we should have and shouldn't have, you know. And these are things we've got to strengthen so that we can get to this next step.
Really?
So what I did was just bring the guys that I went to school with, you know, in and said, look, this is what I want to do.
I have so many questions to ask now. It's so weird. Before I started, I had all this anxiety, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what I, but now I got so many questions. Well, let's talk to Malcolm for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of business you have, Malcolm?
Contracting business.
General
contracting.
And what do that mean? Because a lot of people don't know. For a long time, I heard contract. I didn't really know what that meant. What does that mean?
Well, general contractor can build anything except for high rise and bridges. But I specialize in custom homes, remodels, and I do some commercial units.
Okay. Yeah. And how long have you been in business?
Contracting for 10 years. And legally for 6 years.
That's funny. Are you located here in Los Angeles?
Right now, I'm in Marin County.
Really?
Yes.
And so, do you have other business as well? Is just the only thing you're doing? Or?
That's it. Besides working with Bond, that's all I'm doing right now.
I was hoping you mentioned Bond.
Yeah.
And what do you do with Bond?
Look at you, silly. Vice President of Bond, and just trying to really organize to get the word out right now.
Yeah. And what is Bond?
It's a brotherhood organization of a new destiny, and it's rebuilding the black community by rebuilding the black man, but we are now focusing on the family. The main issue now is just the, it seems to be we're working on getting the family unit together.
Okay, and you located?
In Marin County?
No, where's Bond located?
Oh.
Not you.
It's Inglewood.
All right.
Yeah.
Let me ask Isaac. What are some of the things that hold people back from starting their own businesses? I mean, what do you find? What is it that holds people back?
within the community, the biggest thing is money.
Money.
Not enough money to get started. And that's generally because most people just don't have a business plan. They don't really sit down and say, well, this is what I want to do, and this is how I'm going to go about getting it done. That is from A to Z. And most people leave out the most important thing, that's money. They start off with not enough money, and then they try to go out and get money once they're in the process of doing business. And usually it's too late at that point. Business usually falls apart before you can get the money.
So are you saying that, do you need a lot of money to start a business?
You don't need a lot of money, but you need a lot of planning. Planning sometimes is worth more than money. That is, if you have a poor plan, it takes a lot more money than if you had strategically sat down and done things efficiently.
Give me an example of a plan.
That is, if, for example, Mr. Lordy said he wanted to open a grocery store. Well, you can't just go in there and start paying the lease before you go out and get your inventory together. You know, you got to make plans to get your inventory. You got to know how much it's going to cost you for your inventory. You got to make sure you got your license before you, you know, open the doors. You got to have your state, you know, taxes taken care of. You got to plan all these things, because if you don't, what happens is you end up with a bunch of penalties, or you open the doors with no groceries and it's going to be 2 weeks before delivery. You got to plan all these things. So when you open the door, it's just a turnkey operation.
Let me ask then, a new business, they have to have all that. Aren't you allowed to, the first year, you're allowed to get away with a few things because you're sort of considered not to really be in business until the second year? You don't make a profit until the second year. Is that true?
Some things you can get away with them in terms of on the tax side. There are some things you can get away with. But what you find is that if you start slipping, once you start a business, you continue to slip. That is, things don't usually get lighter. If you really go into a good business, a solid business, it picks up. Traffic gets heavier.
Uh-huh.
So it's equivalent to driving on a side street. When you're driving on a side street, you want to follow the rules, because once you get out there on the 405, you know, you really don't want to try and learn the rules then. So right. You want to get, you know, off on the right foot.
Do you have to have a degree, Marvin, to start a business? Do you have to be well educated?
I think some sort of education is necessary, but I don't think you have to have a degree.
Some sort. What sort?
I believe you should be good at anything that you do. Be the best you can be at whatever you do. I believe there are millionaires that make carpet, that do air, you know.
What do you mean by some sort of education?
I believe you should you should be good at it. If you decide that you're going
to
be a shirt
maker. But you don't have to be educated to be good at it, right?
No, you don't. I think education does not have to mean that you go into a learning institution and learn. A lot of those nowadays are probably at a lesser than the people who aren't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we go in and educationally do something, and then when you get into the company, they change it all around anyway.
Absolutely.
But you still need the education, because, I mean, I can't go in and be a chemical scientist or something, or electrical engineer, and expect that with what I have in marketing and real estate is going to fit there.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean,
when you say educated, do you mean that I need to read a book, or I need to learn from experience, or both, or what?
I think there's a multitude of things.
Seems to me you should be educated on the basic level, as far as being able to communicate, being able to add and subtract. Now, if you had $10 and you wanted to open up a lemonade stand, that's a business. You know, you'd be able to add up how much the lemons cost you, how much the sugar's going to cost, and to make sure you're going to get a profit from it, you're going to be able to add and subtract on a basic level, and that's all you need to know.
What do you think hold people back from starting their own business?
Fear.
Fear, absolutely.
Yeah.
I've been waiting on that fear word. And what do you have to say about the fear that they have?
Anything. Any time that you do something that you haven't done before, it's a fear involved with it, you know, on a particular level. Whether you're starting a business, whether you're going to play your first game of basketball, or whatever you're going to do, the initial time you do it, there's going to be some fear involved with it.
What should they do with the fear?
Is look at it and don't let it stop them.
Did you have that fear?
Not fear, because I'm like Mr. Laura. We started right out of college when we came out of school, and it was pretty much this. You know, I mean, I knew right away this is what I'm going to do. But I think within that fear, I don't think it's as much fear as it is uncertainty. That is, the people are usually the fear is just because they're not really sure of what to expect. I think if you have fear, you need to sit down and analyze, what am I afraid of?
We're going to go to break, and when I come back, I want you to tell us what should we expect. We're going on break. I'll be back in a minute.
That's a good point. Rebuilding the Black Community by Rebuilding the Black Man. Meetings held every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Location, 2625 West Manchester Boulevard, Inglewood, California, 90305. For more information, call area code 213-759-3844. That's 759-3844. Bond, Rebuilding the Black Community by Rebuilding the Black Man.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Isaac, what should you expect when you start your own business?
Generally, most people expect to start the first year and make a lot of money. And it usually doesn't happen, and most people get frustrated, and that's when they want to give up.
Right.
And the biggest thing is you've got to have realistic goals. That is, you've got to be able to say, well, maybe for 6 to 8 months, I'm going to be coming out of my pocket with money, and I'm not going to receive any revenues in. And that's the reality of doing business. A lot of times you start off, you're not going to make money that first 6 to 8 months.
Really? And a lot of people give up at that point?
It's frustrating. After 6 to 8 months, if you're putting your money in and you've been thinking about it for 6 to 8 months, that's a year, and you don't have any money coming in, most people get a little frustrated with it.
Is it good to focus on the money or something else?
That's generally the problem. Is if you don't have a plan, you end up focusing on how much money you got coming in rather than the reality of, am I doing the service I'm supposed to be performing? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And you got to keep your mind on what you're supposed to be doing, and eventually the money will come.
Yeah. Did you discover, Malcolm, anything else about yourself as a result of going into business?
Yes.
And what was that?
Lack of character.
Oh, yeah?
As far as being able to relate to clients. I've grown a lot in business. You know, there's always discoveries about yourself, about the trade or whatever you're dealing with. There's always discoveries in business. But business has taught me to be a stronger person.
Really?
Yes.
And when you say not knowing how to deal with people, give me an example of what you mean.
By not speaking up exactly for what you want, being strong in negotiations, dealing with, I'm a general contractor, so I have to deal with subcontractors as well, like electricians, plumbers, and different people. Just being firm with them, making them adhere to their word, and just being non-moving.
Yeah. Did you discover anything about yourself, Marvin, as a result of starting your business?
Poor management skills. Needed to sharpen those up, make sure that I had the proper documentation all the time.
Yeah.
Understanding how to develop people's best attributes, bring it out in them. And I'm a taskmaster.
Are you?
And a lot of people can't handle that. Yeah,
Have you learned more about that since being out of school as opposed to being in school?
Well, I'm accused now of being too calm.
Really?
Yeah. I take a total different approach to how I'm going to get you to do something for me, because I believe, as this gentleman does, that you must get everything out of a person that you want out of them. But I believed in the taskmaster level of it. It was beat them over the head to get it done, and that you don't have to do that.
That's not the way.
No.
So now, was it necessary for you to go to school, or could you have done what you're doing now without going to school?
It helped a lot for me to get the knowledge I got in school, because I was able to gain the relationships, like with Mr. Gordon.
Uh-huh.
But I'm more of from School of Hard Knocks. I never graduated from college. The corporation I went to promised to finish paying for my college, and I decided to leave them once I was eligible to start getting it paid for,
mm-hmm.
because I always had a dream of owning my own business. And I'm looking back 12 years later, and it's been rough, but I've never turned back. I've never went back to a corporation.
What's been rough about it?
Oh, just the economics of it. The Reagan years were great. I mean, as much as I'm not Republican, I believe that he put money in the system.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, there was more money in the system than any of us could have ever dreamed for.
Absolutely.
And we decided that Bush would carry that on, and he hasn't.
Right.
But then he had things that Reagan did to him that he didn't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
So all we're doing is in the adjustment period. And we're adjusting for all of the money that a lot of us made. You know, I've had to make tough adjustments then.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was able to buy a lot of things then. And you get caught up into that European idea of what you have to have. I'm not in that idea anymore.
What did that mean?
Well, I mean, what you have to drive, what you have to wear. I like to wear nice. I like to drive nice. But it doesn't have to be a Mercedes Benz.
And that's a European idea?
As far as I'm concerned.
And so are we caught up in that?
Yes, sir.
And how did we get caught up in that?
Because we're patterned after them. We look at their TV set every day.
Really?
And Coke and 7-Up is part of it. You know?
Really? I want to talk about having money to start a business. Myself, I started a janitorial service. I used to be a computer operator, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to work for myself, but I didn't have a lot of money on hand. And so I heard that starting a janitorial service was the cheapest way of doing it, you know, mm-hmm. and not having money. So what I did, I took the money I had and I rented my equipment and I did carpets in the home. And I took the money from that and I saved it and eventually bought my own equipment. And I began to deal with commercial builders.
Okay.
It's like one thing would lead to another one. When I first started out, I also had the problem of dealing with people.
Mm-hmm.
I was insecure. You know, I was shy. And when I wanted to negotiate a contract, I wanted the contract so badly until I would underbid myself, you know, trying to make sure I get it. And I made a lot of mistakes, but I also, well, I didn't make mistakes. What happened, those things taught me other things.
Mm-hmm.
More than the money, I discovered how to be a man, a person, how to deal with people. The one thing that I realized that people don't understand about business, you discover something else about yourself. You sort of grow in a business where you don't grow when you work with other people. Did you guys get the same thing? Or am
sure.
I,
yeah.
You
sure.
get that?
Somewhat.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I learned real quick that, you know, I remember when you first started the business, I guess everybody here probably was the same. You think you could do everything.
Yeah.
You could do it all. I'm going to be the manager. I'm going to do all the work. I'm going to be done the way I want it done. And then about 3 weeks into the process, you turn around, you dog tired. You look around and say, not quite the man I thought I was. I need some help. And that's when you really start doing business, when you realize that you can't do everything and that you sort of have to allocate stuff out and, you know, distribute stuff.
Absolutely. When I first started, I did the labor part. I did the books. I did the negotiation of the contract. I did writing the contract. And I would wear myself out. I was having a good time, though. And I'm glad that I went through it because I realize now I learned a lot from it.
Right.
I know everything about the business, per se. And then I had to go out and start hiring people. And that's when another problem began. Because what I find is it's hard to find honest people. And it's hard to find people that would give you the type of service that you would like to present to your customer. Do you find that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of those people that are that way, they're in their own business themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah,
honest people.
Yes. Well, most people that, well, in my experience has been that after you work with someone for so long, you train them and they become efficient. They will they have the same desire as you do. They want to start their own business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing I discovered, you know, I started a janitorial service, right? And here I am going along in life, having fun. It was fun. It was absolutely fun. It wasn't always easy, but it was always fun, right? And then I began to discover other things about myself. That's the point I want to make. What it is, if you sort of step out beyond the fear, you discover other things about yourself. It's like a tree is growing, and so branches began to grow on this tree, right? And you began to see other avenues that lead you into something else. And that's how I started Bond, because after a while, because I had so much courage, I guess, I was able to do Bond because I saw I could do it, I guess. But if I hadn't stepped out, I wouldn't have discovered that. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Same situation with me with the coalition.
Uh-huh.
We feel in the coalition that if you don't work with those things that we've discussed here, this man discussed early in the program that he's been in business 6 years legitimately.
Uh-huh.
All he's saying is that he licensed himself.
Exactly.
That's part of what we do. We make sure that we go in. We were set up as a fund so we can help them take that $150 to pay. Because as small as that amount is, it's hard to come up with sometimes.
Yeah.
Just to make the commitment to do, which goes back to some of the things that you talk about.
You know why it's hard to, I realized it again. The reason that it's hard to take $100 and do something with it,
mm-hmm.
is because we're so screwed up in life.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
We procrastinate from, we'll have that $100 50 times over, but we prefer to buy some shoes or a suit or go to dinner than to sit down and take the commitment. And it's not only just the money. The paperwork is very intensive, and the studying's even worse. So those are the things that we want to strengthen. We'll have the facilities for you to come in and study. We'll help you with the paperwork, and we'll pay it for you. But you got to have the interest.
Let's talk a little bit about commitment. I find that most people, and particularly black people, can I say black people tonight? Because we're trying to help black people, I mean, tonight.
It's okay.
I find that the average black person, not all, let me just say not all because they'll call me up. You said all black folk were like this. Oh, are you winding up? We winding up. But this is going to be like a two-part series or three-part series, so we're not going to lose anything. I find that the average black person is not committed to anything. And if you're not committed if you're not committed, can you succeed in business?
I think so.
Can you concede without being committed?
Yes.
How is that?
You know why? Because people that are, you have some people that just stumble through life. They can't make a mistake. And that's the people we watch.
But they're committed to stumbling, though, right?
No.
What do you mean by stumbling?
I don't think so.
What do you mean by stumble through life? I don't understand that.
I have a younger brother that can do anything good, uh-huh. Nothing great, but he can stumble right through. He can walk into Las Vegas and walk out with $1,000 and walk out with $27,000.
Have he built a business?
Sure. He owns three separate businesses.
So is he committed to doing that?
If you would ask myself, who's a taskmaster, is he running them right and could he make more profit? I'd say no.
You say no.
I'd say that he can make a lot more profit.
You know, we're winding up right now. This is part one. When I come back, I want to talk more about commitment because I tell you, man, I see it all the time. The problem with us is that we're not committed, and particularly black men. I have to say that. It seems as though the woman, because, you know, she's sort of committed to it. She raised children. She go to work. She wash dishes. She take care of her. So we need to understand commitment. I thank you for this part, and we'll be back next Monday night with part two. I thank you for being with me. Tune in next week at 8:30 for part two. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Find a way to stand up, stand up, stand up. Live throughout the world today, must protect the family.